العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said that a person who sends 1,000 times daily durood or salutations or salawat upon me, he will not die till he sees his place in Jannah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ Very beautiful ayat. Every ayat is beautiful. But this ayat has got a great hope for us, for sinners like us. There's a very big hope. Now the translation of the ayat is, surely there has come to you a messenger from amongst yourselves. A rasul, a messenger from amongst yourselves. Heavy upon him is your suffering. Oh, painful is upon him your suffering. He passionately desires your welfare. Listen to each word of the ayat. He passionately desires your welfare. To the believers, he is most kind and merciful. Every word of this ayah kareema is such a great hope for us. Okay, the ayah kareema begins, there has come to you a messenger. Where has he come from? He has come to you. Where has he come from? He has come from there where he was. He cannot come from there where he wasn't. He will come from there where he was. And where he was, before he came to you, where he was in the qurb and the nearness and of proximity of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So he was there in the qurb. Since when he was there? He was there when Adam alayhi salam was not created. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that kuntu nabiyyam wa adamu bayna ar-ruhi wal jasad. I was Nabi at that time when Adam alayhi salam was between the body and the soul. He was there when nothing was created. when only Allah and His attributes were there. Because Allah is non-creation and His attributes are also non-creation. So when Allah desired to create what He created, He created the noor of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So people might say, well, He's a human being, He's Bashar. Bashar means human race. So if I use the word Bashar, I know many of you are purely English speaking people and you might not understand the meaning of the word Bashar. So let me explain you right in the beginning. Bashar means human race. Somebody might say that, well, He is human being. He is Bashar. And I want to tell you that the Bashariyat, the human race, started from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Was there a human before Adam alayhi salam? So from where the human race started? From Adam alayhi salam. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there before Adam alayhi salam. So what was he at that time? He was the noor of Allah. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem here, min anfusikum, from amongst yourselves. It means the uniform of human being. That he is noor, but he wore the uniform of human being. Because he wore the uniform of human being, you can connect with him. You can liaise with him. You know, you will be comfortable with your own kind. So Allah Ta'ala gave him the uniform of human being for you to benefit from him, for you to connect with him, for you to liaise with him. But his reality as noor is never changed. Okay, let's take an example. A person goes to Durban. And Durban is a hot city. And there he wears summer clothes. And then he maybe goes to Cape Town and it's a cold city. And then he takes out his summer clothes and he wears winter clothes. So in Durban, his clothes were different. In Cape Town, his clothes were different. So when he changed his clothes, does his reality also changes? No, his reality is still the same. It is the same person that was in Durban. And it is the same person that is in Cape Town. Only difference is that he had different clothes in Durban and he had different clothes in Cape Town. But the person itself has not changed. Let me give you another example. You have a piece of steel, iron. You make knife out of it. Or you decide to make a lock out of it. Or you decide to make sword out of it. Every time you make something, you melt it, you make a new thing out of it. So one day that steel is a knife. And on other day that steel is a lock. And on another day, that steel is a sword. So, in different shapes you will say, it is a knife. And when you see another shape, you will say, it's a lock. And when you see another shape, you will say, it's a sword. But in all three conditions, the reality is that it is a piece of iron. It is a piece of steel. So steel is never changed. So this way, these are just examples for you to understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there before the creation of human race. So he was noor. And when he came in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the libas, the wearing, the dress of human being. So he came with that dress. So his reality as nur is never changed. So this is the meaning that min anfusikum, that he is from amongst you. So as you are human race, he also looks human race. We don't deny his bashariyat, because his bashariyat is proven from Quran Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ, that I am a bashar like you. Oh beloved, tell them that I am a bashar like you. But this like you has got a explanation that many people don't understand. Like you in which way? Like you means in being the creation of Allah. As you are the creation of Allah, I am also the creation of Allah. That is the likelihood between you and me. As you worship one God, I worship one God. As you worship one Allah, I worship one Allah. That is the likelihood between me and you. And don't think that you become like me, because I'm the one that Allah sends wahi upon, and upon you wahi doesn't come. That is a huge difference between me and you. And then another beautiful understanding of this ayah kareema, Mufassireen Ikram have said that there is another qirat, there is another way of reading anfusikum, and that qirat is min anfusikum. Instead of reading anfusikum, min anfusikum. Hazrat Allama Ismail Haqqi rahmatullahi ta'ala writes in Tafsir Ruhul Bayan, wa quri'a min anfusikum bi fathil fa'i ay min ashrafikum wa afdalikum. That this anfusikum is also read as anfusikum. It means that this messenger who has come to you is finest of all of you, and he is greater of all of you, and he is most noble of all of you. Okay, now this is very interesting. He is finest of all of you. He is most fine. And ulama ikram have said that, why he is most fine? They said he is most fine because he is the life of everyone. He is the life of universe. And life is always finer than all the organs of the body. Life is the most fine in this structure of human being. There are organs and there is life. And life is the most fine. So because he is the life of whole universe, therefore he is the most fine in the universe. And this is the very same understanding that Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu puts in his poetry. He says, wo jo na the to kuch na tha, wo jo na ho to kuch na ho, jaan hai wo jahan ki, jaan hai tu jahan. If he wasn't there, there was nothing. And if he will be not there, there will be nothing. Jaan hai jahan ki. He is the jaan of universe. He is the life of universe. And if the universe is there, then you must believe that the life of universe is also there. What a beautiful dalil to prove the huzur, the hazir o nazir of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In a nutshell, Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala, he puts it, these are actually philosophical discussions based on logic and mantik. He says, وہ جو نہ تھے تو کچھ نہ تھا, وہ جو نہ ہو تو کچھ نہ ہو, جان ہیں وہ جہان کی, جان ہے تو جہان ہے. یہ مقدمات ہیں اور اس کے بعد نتیجہ نکالا جا رہا ہے. جان ہے تو جہان ہے. تو اف دا یونیورس از ایگزٹنگ دین یو کین ناٹ بلیو دیٹ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم از گون فرام دس یونیورس. اف یو آر ایگزٹنگ اینڈ فنکشننگ دیٹ مین یور لائف از آلسو دیئر. And if you are functioning and you're saying you don't have a life, that's a lie. You are functioning because the life is there. And if universe is functioning, then the truth is that the life of universe, which is your master and my master, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is also there. So therefore, he is the life of Awwaleen and Akhireen. So as the body is bekar, body is useless when there is no life, and you will be useless if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not there with you, because he's the life. Life is gone, body becomes useless. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not there, you will become useless. So if you want to be useful, you need to connect with your life. And how would you connect with your life? You follow his way. You follow his sunnah. You love him. You connect him. Then you have the life. And when you have the life, then you are living. Otherwise you are dead. He's your life. Not just your life. He is the life of the whole universe. And he is the life of your iman as well. Because iman also requires noor. And that noor will come from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore again, our master and our leader, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, puts it beautifully and he explains, Allah ki sarta ba qadam shan hai ye. From head to the toes, he is the glory of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Insan nahi insan, wo insan hai ye. He is human being, that no human being is like him. Quran to iman batata hai inhe. Quran says that he's iman. So Allah Azza says that I knocked at the door of iman and I asked iman, O iman, you tell me, what is your relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And iman says, aur iman ye kehta hai ki meri jaan hai ye. And iman says that he is my life. And that is the reason that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves us so much, because he is our jaan. Jaan loves the body. Isn't it? The life. Life never likes that any part of body should suffer with any pain. Isn't it? You know, your brother, one day he can fight with you. He might not care so much about you. We have seen so many brothers fighting with each other. They don't even talk to each other. And when they meet, this one is complaining about that one, and that one is complaining about this one. So they can even hate each other. But the jaan will never hate the body. The life will never hate the body. It doesn't matter the body parts, how naughty they can be, or how abusive they can be, but the life still loves them. He is the life of everyone. So he cares about everyone. So when any organ of your body is in pain, then your life is in pain. So as a ummati, when you are in pain, your Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also in pain. Therefore it is said in Quran Kareem, heavy upon him is your suffering. Difficult is upon him your suffering. Painful upon him is your suffering. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, he made that dua, رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا Oh Allah, don't leave any kafir on the surface of this earth. Destroy all of them. It's the same nation who is being called brothers. Brothers of Nuh alayhi salam. So Nuh alayhi salam makes that dua. But when the kuffar gave problems to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they hurt him over and over. They injured him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through so much pain that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that I have been tested the most. I have been put into difficulty the most, more than any other prophet. So when they troubled him, they harmed him, they hurt him, even angels came and they said, Ya Rasulullah, allow us, give us the permission. We want to destroy them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, no, I have been sent as rahmatul lil alamin. I don't want them to be destroyed. I want them to be guided. My wish and my desire is that they can come on the right path. If they don't listen, then their children will listen. Their coming generation will come into the fold of Islam. And exactly what was the expectation of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam happened, that even the children of Abu Jahl, they became sahabis of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's the reaction of a life. That is the reaction of a jaan to the body. Because he is our life. Therefore he never wants us that we could be destroyed. And then you will see that demonstration of the relationship of life with the body on the day of judgment, when everybody is in difficulty. All relationships would be broken. Mother-son relationship? No. Father-son relationship? No. Brother-brother? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. That would be the day when brother would run away from the brother. If you need one neki, your brother will say no. You need one neki, your son will say no. Daddy, sorry, I can't help you. I'm in trouble. I also need nekis. It doesn't matter how much wrong you do to bring up your children, they will leave you alone when you are in difficulty. How much bribery you take, how many namazes you miss because you're working hard and earning money for your children, they will leave you alone on the day of judgment. They will not stand with you. They will not go in the grave with you. When you are suffering in the grave and when you are facing the poison of snakes and scorpions, your beloved wife will not come there. Your children will not come there. Only the good deeds and the relationship that you have with Allah and His Rasul will help you. So do the right things and prepare yourself for your qabr and for the akhirat. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. Brother will run away from the brother. And on that day, everybody will be saying, nafsi, nafsi, go and try any nabi. On that day, he'll say, nafsi, nafsi. And there'll be one nabi who will be saying, ummati, ummati. Because that's the relationship of life with the body. Life is always well-wisher of the body. Therefore, Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala, again he puts it so beautifully. He says, Peshihak mujda shafa'at ka sunate jai. We will be in trouble. And looking around everywhere and see the azab of Allah is about to come. And there's nobody who's ready to recommend your name for forgiveness. Go to Adam alayhi salam, he says, nafsi, nafsi, I'm worried about my own self. Go to somebody else. Leave me alone today. 124,000 more or less prophets alayhimus salam will be tried on that day, and everyone will say, "Nafsi, nafsi, idhabu ila ghairi. I'm worried about my own self. Go to somebody else." And when all these troubled people come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will say, "Ana laha, I am appointed for that job. Come to me, I will intercede on your behalf." So Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala puts it beautifully. Peshe hak, mujda shafa'at ka sunate jayenge. Aap rote jayenge, humko hasate jayenge. Wus'atein di hai khuda ne, damani mahbub ko. Wus'atein di hai khuda ne, دامنِ محبوب کو عیب کھلتے جائیں گے اور وہ چھپاتے جائیں گے. Our secrets will be opening in front of everyone. In the dunya we lived, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind because of his beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he has covered our secrets. We have done so many wrong things and he has covered us. He has covered us. Imagine if our sins are opened up in front of people. People will come and spit on our face. We hid ourselves when we committed sins. We think nobody watched us. The door was locked. The curtains were there. Nobody heard us doing anything. Nobody saw us doing anything. But everything is being recorded. Allah has covered you. Allah has covered you. And if He did not want to cover you, He would have exposed you in the dunya and you would have left no respect in the dunya. Your son would have been embarrassed to call you that this man is my father. But Allah covered you. So on the day of judgment, what will happen? Now the Nama Amal comes in the hand. Your secrets are about to open. Aib khulte jayenge aur wo chupate jayenge. Your aibs are about to open, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will cover you. So the crown of respect which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on your head for not exposing your bad deeds due to the sadaqah and the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that crown of respect will still be there on your head. And then the very same personality who makes istighfar for you, and this is another reference of relationship of a body with the organs. You are the organs and he is the life. Hands commit sins, eyes commit sins, ears commit sins, other parts of the body they commit sins. But who makes istighfar is the life. Istighfar kaun karta hai? Zindagi. Jo in sab ki jaan hai. Istighfar wo karti hai. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is infallible. He is ma'soom. He is sinless. He is Sayyidul Ma'soomin. He is the leader of all those who are sinless. In fact, whoever is sinless is the sadaqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was the need for him to make istighfar 70 times a day? Why did he make istighfar 70 times a day? He does not have sins. The person who commits sins and he says, "Ya Allah, forgive my sins," it makes sense. And the person does not have sins and he says, "Oh Allah, forgive my sins," does that make sense? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make istighfar 70 times a day. His istighfar was actually for the ummah, for our sins, because we are the organs of that body and he is life and we keep on sinning and we keep on sinning and we keep on sinning. And he loves us so much that 70 times a day he used to make istighfar for us. And after understanding that he is our life and he cares about us so much, it is our responsibility to provide peace to our life, to provide comfort to our life. You know, when your life is in pain, you do something. You know, when one of your organ is injured, your life is in pain. So you run to the doctor, you take medication, you take painkillers. Why? Because your life is restless. You want to provide peace to your life. You want to provide comfort to your life. And because of our wrongdoings, because of our diseases of ruh, our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is restless. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is pained. So what we have to do, we have to make sure that we don't do anything which will hurt our beloved Nabi. We don't go against Sharia, because when we go against Sharia, our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam feels the pain, because all our deeds are presented in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees our good deeds, he gets happy, and when he sees our sins, he is sad. You are causing sadness to our life, our beloved master, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by committing sins. So isn't that makes sense? Isn't that is a common sense that we should stop sinning? We should stop disobeying the orders of Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we don't cause hurt and pain to our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is so caring for us, who is so loving for us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Azizun alayhi ma'anittum. Your suffering is painful for him. It puts Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into difficulty. Therefore, he has not taught us only how to read namaz, or how to fast, or how to go for hajj. Things that hurt us, he taught us, stay away from that. You know, one beautiful hadith in Mubarakah that shows pure care. Pure care. There is no masla of shariat in it. But due to the love that he has for the ummah, he advised us. The hadith in Mubarakah is, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam أن ينام الرجل على سطح ليس بمحجور. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped us to sleep on a roof that doesn't have a boundary wall. Did you see that hadith? He stopped us not to sleep on a roof that doesn't have a boundary wall. Why is he stopping us? Because during the night you might get up and you're still sleepy. And because there is no wall, and you might fall from the roof and on the ground, and you might hurt yourself. Any of your bone might be broken. So don't do that. Because if you do that, you will get hurt, and I'll feel the pain. Small things. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he's our life, he cares about us. He said that when there is a place where there is half sunshine and half shade, don't sleep there. He stopped us, don't sleep there. And according to the hakims and the medical experts, they say that if a person sleeps like that, you know, half of his body is under shade and half of his body is under sunshine, then there is fear that he might get the sickness, white spots on the body. People get white spots on the skin. It's a skin disease that they have patches on the face and on the body and here and there. You might get that sickness if your half body is under the shade and half body is under sunshine. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is advising us not to do that, because you'll get sick, and when you are sick and you are in pain, I'll be in pain. Don't do that. So there are too many examples in a hadith-e-mubarakah that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has suggested us that don't do this because you will get hurt. Now he cares about all his ummah. He cares about the good ones and he cares about the bad ones as well. People like us, the bad ones. He cares about us as well. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, beautiful hadith mubarakah, شفاعتي لأهل الكبائر من أمتي. My shafa'at is for those who commit major sins from my ummah. That's about us, sinners. Hum jaise gande log. It doesn't mean that those who are pious, there'll be no shafa'at for them. There will be shafa'at for them as well, but their shafa'at is to raise their station. Their shafa'at is different type. So those who are pious, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will also make their shafa'at. And their shafa'at is that, because of the shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their stations are raised. They go higher and higher and higher. And sinners like us, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will make shafa'at, so our sins can be forgiven and we can go to Jannah. Again, Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala says, Bad sahi, chor sahi, مجرمو ناکارا سہی اے وہ کیسا ہی سہی ہے تو کریمہ تیرا. We are chor thieves, we are bad people, we are criminals, we are useless. It doesn't matter what we are, but ya Rasulullah, we belong to you, we are yours. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will make shafa'at of sinful people, and that is the demand of his status as Azizun alayhi ma'anittum. Now, you must know that when previous ummats, they used to commit crimes, the tawbah was very difficult. You know, when Musa alayhi wasallam went away to take Torah, and the Bani Israel started worshipping calf. And now, Musa alayhi salam told them, you have to make tawbah. So they said, what is that tawbah? The order came, all those who worship calf, they must kill each other. 70,000 Jews killed each other in order to get tawbah. Then only the tawbah was accepted. And as far as the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the order is that as long as you feel embarrassed in the court of Allah azza wa jal, that is a tawbah, and that tawbah is accepted. Because the definition of tawbah is an-nadmu tawbatun. Nadm is tawbah. That when you are embarrassed in the court of Allah azza wa jal, that is your tawbah. So Rasulullah says, all that is coming, and then he's so powerful and his ikhtiar is so much that because he doesn't want things to be difficult for us, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِتَأْخِيرِ الْإِشَاءِ وَبِالسِّوَاكِ عِنْدَ كُلِّ صَلَاتٍ. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if I did not worry about the mashakkat, about the difficulty on my ummah, I would have ordered my ummah to delay the namaz of Isha and to make miswak for every namaz. I would have made farz upon them. Muhaddiseen have written under this hadith mubarakah, they have said, La amartuhum bi ta'khir al-isha'i ay la faradtuhum. That I would have delayed the Isha namaz for them means I would have made late Isha farz for them. Who is saying that? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. وَتَاخِيرُهُ إِلَىٰ ثُلُثِ اللَّيْلِ to the until the third part of the night. I would have made it first. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, I would have made it first. Up to the third part of the night. But because he says, it's difficult on my ummah. So because of their difficulty, because of their mashakkat, because of their hardship, I kept it early. And I did not make miswak necessary for every namaz. It is sunnat still, but it's not wajib, or it's not farz. Subhanallah, two things you will see here. One is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cares about us so much. That because to read namaz in the third part of the night would have been difficult, He made it for us in the early part of the night. As soon as the time of Maghrib finishes, your time of Isha starts, you can read immediately and then go and rest. And second thing we understand is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very powerful. He does not bring the message of Allah and gives it to us. His position is not like a postman that brings the message and then leave the postman outside. No, he's a lawmaker. He's a lawmaker. He makes the Shariat. He says, if I wanted, then I would have made it farz upon you because I thought it would be difficult for you. Therefore, I did not make it farz upon you to read the namaz in the third part of the night. So it's powerful. Now some people say, the person whose name is Muhammad, nothing can happen with his wants. If he wants something, nothing can happen. But here the Rasul of Allah says, if I want, then this can happen. Then if something is not farz, that can become farz. And something is farz, that would not be farz if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants that. And then let me tell you another hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, لَوْ شِئْتُ لَسَارَتْ مَعِيَا جِبَالُ الذَّهَبْ. If I wanted, then the mountains of gold would have been walking with me. And the question was asked, Ya Rasulullah, do you like dunya, or you like gold, or you like silver, or you like wealth of this dunya? He said, no, I don't like all that. I don't want all that. That's why Allah Ta'ala kept the whole world, both the worlds, in His empty hands. How do you understand that philosophy? You know, I salute the intellect of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He puts it so beautifully. He says, Do jahan ki nemtein hain, unke khali haath. Where do you find the bounties of both the worlds? In an empty hand. And that's one unique personality. And that is our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That hand is empty, but the bounties of both the worlds are in that empty hand. You need to have intellect to understand that. And there's another meaning for Urdu speaking people, they'll appreciate. The word khali also means only. Word khali in Urdu also means only. And now, for example, if you say, kya khali wohi janta? So it's same like kya sirf wohi janta? So khali means only. So Ala Hazrat puts it in this way, that gives you the double meaning, that do jahan ki nematein hain unke khali haath mein, that the bounties of both the worlds are only in His hand. Nobody else. Nobody else. And everyone who will have a bounty will have a bounty from Him. Now that gives you a perfect justification to the hadith mubarakah, Wallahu mu'ti wa ana qasim. Allah gives me unconditionally, and I distribute the ni'mats of Allah unconditionally. It's actually unconditionally. I'm translating that purposely. Because when you form a sentence, you have a verb, you have a subject, and you have an object, then the sentence is formed. And if the object is missing, it means that the object is common. And common is unrestricted. So, Wallahu mu'ti, Allah gives. What He gives is not mentioned. So that means what He gives is unlimited.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, wa ana qasim, and I'm qasim, and object is still missing. I distribute what I distribute, not mention. It means Allah gives me unlimited and I distribute unlimited. Therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I never desired the mountains of gold to be walking with me, but law shaitu, if I wanted, then the mountains of gold would have been walking after me. Subhanallah. With his, people say, with his wants nothing can happen. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if I want, then the mountains can become gold, and they won't just become gold and stay there, they'll walk behind me. So what can happen with the want of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That is beyond our understanding. I touched the issue of shafa'at, and one very important masla I wanted to express on that. That in Maidan-e-Mahshar, when you are in trouble and you looking for help, okay, normally some people will say that, you know, if you ask help from other than Allah, you are mushrik. So only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever you in trouble, don't think of anybody else. Don't think of Nabi or Wali. It doesn't matter, you can think of a police and a security company, but must not think of a Nabi or a Wali. Some people's mind work this way. So it's fine, they can keep that understanding, but I want to give you some explanation. That if seeking help from Nabi or Wali is a shirk, then this shirk will happen on in Maidan-e-Mahshar on the day of judgment. Then try to stop there. Because when people are in trouble, they will say, Allah's ghazab is there. His anger is there. Nobody has the guts even to open mouth and say, oh Allah, forgive us. Even that much people would not be able to say, oh Allah, forgive us. And what they will think, they in trouble. The sun is about 1.25 miles away. Earth is made of copper, burning, perspiring. They're drowning with your own perspiration. In that situation and condition, they'll talk with each other and they'll say, you know, let's get help. We can't stay like this. So they say, okay, let's go to one of the beloveds of Allah. Somebody that Allah loves him. Let's go to him and tell him to help us. So they don't advise each other, oh, ask Allah, prostrate, go into sajda and say, oh Allah, forgive us. But what is the mashwara? Go to a person, a man who's loved by Allah, go to him. So they say, okay, let's go to Adam alayhi salam. He's our father, he cares about us, we say, we are your children, please help us. So they go to him. And what answer he gives? He says, nafsi, nafsi, izhabu ila ghairi. I'm worried about my own self. Go to my ghair. Go to my ghair. People say, na, that if you call ghairullah for help, you are a mushrik. Now, Adam alayhi salam, Nabi of Allah, who knows Tawheed better than him? Who knows what is shirk and what is not shirk? He is also not telling them, go to Allah. He is telling them, go to another ghair. You have already come to a ghair and go to another ghair. Baat nahi banegi. Baat kahan banegi? Baat Huzur ki bargah mein banegi. Because he is designed to solve the problem for that day. He's made for that. He's made for that. So others will say, I'm worried about my own self. He will not say, I'm worried about my own self. His answer would be different and he will say, Where were you? They'll say, we have been to Adam alayhi salam, we have been to Nuh alayhi salam, we have been to Ibrahim alayhi salam, we have been to Ismail alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, all the prophets, we have been there to get the help. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam will say, Ana laha, I'm for that. So you did not have a right address. And who gives them the right address is Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. When they go to every prophet, finally they'll come to Isa alayhi salam. He'll tell them, I'm the hope. I'm the star of hope. I gave you a good news before. And I told you that the Nabi, Rasul that's coming after me, his name is Ahmad. I gave you that news before. And today I will give you good news again. That don't go here and there. Go to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He'll solve your problem. Allah. Ya. He'll solve the problem. Zere arsh. Wo peshe haq. Wohi sab baatein. He'll prostrate in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Aisa sajda karenge, aisa sajda karenge. And he'll praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those praises would be revealed upon him at that time when he would be in sajda. And he'll cry and he'll make dua. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he'll say, Ya Muhammad, irfa' ra'saka. Oh Muhammad, lift your head now. You have cried enough. Lift your head now. Kul tusma'. Say, you would be heard. Sal tu'ta. Ask me, you will be granted. Ishfa tushaffa. Make shifaat. Your shifaat will be accepted. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will open the door of shafa'at. And then other anbiya will have the chance to make shafa'at. That's why he's called Shafi'ul Muznabeen. Even though all prophets, all pious people will make shafa'at, but none of them is called Shafi'ul Muznabeen. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is called Shafi'ul Muznabeen for the reason that he's the only one who will open the lock of shafa'at. And in fact, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not open any lock, no lock can be opened. Even the lock of the royat of Allah. You know, ulama ikram has given a beautiful reason that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam, Lam tarani. Musa alayhi salam said, Arini, O Allah, show yourself to me. It was possible for Musa alayhi salam to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, Musa alayhi salam would not have made this dua because it is haram to make a dua of impossible. So it was possible for Musa alayhi salam to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, Lan tarani. Definitely, hargis, with taqeed, emphasis, says, you can't see me. Now the nukta which ulama ikram have given, they said, in actual fact, Musa alayhi salam asked before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Had he asked after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he would have been granted. Because the door of every fadl of Allah must be opened by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then nobody can see. Now because Musa alayhi salam asked before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, therefore his request was turned down. Had he asked after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the permission would have been granted. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.